it's an emotional thing. That to me is the core of what backyard bird feeding, bird watching does. It makes an emotional connection with the things that are going on right around you in nature, whether it's the birds at the feeders, whether it's the insects on your native plants. It's an emotional connection that this hobby brings to people that is what results into action, whether it be on a volunteer level or, you know, habitat improvement level, you know, resource management, whatever you want to call it. So,
thanks for joining us for this episode of Nature Centered, a podcast from Wild Birds Unlimited about feeding the birds and enjoying nature right in your own backyard. Here are your hosts, naturalist John Schaust and Brian Cunningham.
Hi, everyone. I'm John Schaust.
And I am Brian Cunningham.
And welcome to episode number 84. Today, Brian and I are going to talk about the environmental benefits to bird feeding. What can bird feeding do to actually help the environment? So what do you think, Brian?
Yeah, very interesting topic. You think about bird feeding, bird watching. What are the environmental benefits of that? Well, we're going to bring some things forward. You know, of course, you can choose environmentally conscious products, but what about how feeding and watching actually helps with conservation and encourages us for more native plants to plant around, or citizen or participatory science, or how all of this even helps lead to more volunteering? So a lot of really interesting things about environmental benefits of bird feeding. Yeah. This could be fun, John.
Well, hopefully, you know, we've talked little bits and pieces of this over the last couple of episodes. So, you know, dig down a little deeper into some details today and see what we come up with. So stick around for the fun. Okay, Brian. You know, this is one of those topics that, you know, when you and I first started talking about it, it was like, I don't know. Are we trying to reach out too much? Are we trying to stretch to, you know, the environmental benefits of backyard bird feeding? You know, and I would expand that to bird watching. And it's like, you know, as we talked more and more about it, it's true. It really is true that you can correlate a lot of cool things that benefit the environment, benefit nature, that kind of are a direct result of people getting into the backyard bird feeding and bird watching hobby. So, you know, like I said, at first I was a little concerned that maybe we were reaching out a little too far, maybe. But no, it's really true. What do you think?
Right. Well, I absolutely agree with you, and I know that you and I have seen how that happens. We have seen over all these years of watching the birds, feeding the birds, and people that we know who, for whether they've been doing it for a long time, and how they start to get into it. So many things run through my head about that, of that they're starting to pay more attention and have more focus on what else can I do to the birds? What else can I do to help nature in my yard? What else can I do to look beyond not just my small circle of space, but out further into my community and in even further beyond that? So it's been really fascinating to watch that with people that we know that have been watching the birds for a long time, or feeding the birds for a long time, or both. But then also people who we've seen get into bird feeding and get into bird watching, and how that changes their mindset and expands their focus from an environmentally conscious and then the environmental benefits that come out of that. So it's been really fascinating to see. We've not done scientific studies on it. We've just had all these observations over the years, right?
Well, you know, you call it anecdotal or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, you've been in this business a long time. You've been feeding birds a long time. I've been feeding birds for a long, long time. You know, WBU's been in business for a long time now. And it's, I think it's fascinating that you and I kind of have come to maybe evolve, you know, from just kind of a neat, cool hobby and enjoying the birds and that type of thing, to really understand the impact that this hobby has. And I think it's part of the reason you and I are so passionate about what we do and the message we share with people, and the fact that we have seen it make a difference. We have seen people get, as just as you were saying, get more involved and more active in, you know, whether it's active in their own yards to make a difference with nature and birds and other critters in the backyard, if you will, or whether it's on a local level, getting involved with some birding group or, you know, some native plant society or whatever it might be, to even on a national level to some extent. You know, in some cases, it impacts how people vote, depending on what politician is for what, you know, have they got a strong stance on, you know, the environment? Are they strong supporters of our national parks? Are they strong supporters of our fish and wildlife system? You know, people now pay attention to some of that more than I think they used to, you know, like 20, 30 years ago. So, yeah, it's interesting that, you know, I've kind of come down that path, if you will, to where, in all candor, I think we try to champion this on a pretty, maybe too regular of a basis, but it's interesting that we've gotten here. I'm really, really happy with that, to be honest with you.
Well, and you look at your efforts of over the years, because you were in the nature center world. You know, you were in city and county parks for so long, and that generation, and then into my generation, of similar concept of it's about trying to open people's eyes to nature and birds, and try to get conservation efforts that then flow out of that. But you got to start somewhere, and it's about just enjoying nature, opening your eyes, and when you do open someone's eyes that birds are out there, you can't close that door. Once their eyes are open, they will always notice that the birds are around. And that fascinates me, that so something that I enjoy and you enjoy, it's so deeply ingrained in us that the bird radar is always on. It's just a thing. And to watch that happen with someone else is so much fun. And you see the memes that go around about, you know, you're old when you start paying attention to the birds. And I always love that, because I'm like, well, that started when I was a kid.
I qualify.
But it's so much fun to see how many of my peers now send me those memes, because they are now paying more attention to the birds. We see anecdotally, over and over, that it happens. And once people are paying attention, then, yeah, the environmental benefits start to flow out of that. I've seen it with local volunteering. I've seen it with local park board that I'm on. How once you do education programs, and then people are like, holy cow, all this is going on? How can we help? It's fun to watch all of that.
Yeah. I think it's all just on, it's an emotional thing, be quite honest, and that to me is the core of what backyard bird feeding, bird watching does. It makes an emotional connection with the things that are going on right around you in nature, whether it's the birds at the feeders, whether it's the insects on your native plants, you know, whatever it might be, you suddenly start to care, you know, and right, you know, anthropomorphic, you know, they're my birds, you know, whatever it might be. But it becomes an emotional thing, and once it becomes an emotional thing, it becomes a thing of passion. If you care about it, you become passionate about it, and therefore, you know what? Exactly, you volunteer, whether it's on the local, you know, community park board or whatever it might be, the local nature center friends group, whatever it might be, you know, taking that first step to, you know, show that passion and put that passion to good use. Is an important thing for a lot of people. You know, other people, no, they just enjoy, and their focus and concentration is their own yard and their own world and that type of thing. Maybe friends and relatives, you know, kind of introducing them to the passion. But yeah, no question to me, it's an emotional connection that this hobby brings to people that is what results into action, whether it be on a volunteer level or an, you know, habitat improvement level, you know, resource management, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah.
Love all of that, John. And not just anecdotally, because we've been around, we've seen it, but there are studies that have been in process that actually prove out what we've been talking about. We'll share some of those studies in the show notes. Very interesting. One was very specific on a citizen science participatory science project called Project Feeder Watch. A big project, Wild Birds Unlimited is a big supporter and promoter of. It's through the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, and it runs November through April. So it's just wrapped up. And so you can participate in it, sign up next fall and join that. But what they did a study, someone, and it was not Cornell that did the study, but another group did the study on the data from Project Feeder Watch and found that it's the idea of all those participants who signed up, what did they do with it? And did they stay in it? Did they get deeper involved? If they didn't submit, you know, I signed up, but I didn't submit any observations. There was actually about a 40% retention rate to stay involved, which was interesting to see. You're like, wow, I didn't submit anything, but I came back next year and participated. But what was more interesting that over 80% of participants who did submit an observation remained in the project and came back the next year. So it's they're finding the more you participate, the longer you're going to stay in. And some might say, well, of course, right? I participated. I'll keep coming back. Mm-hmm. But even those who didn't even submit, a good portion of them came back. You would think a whole lot less, at least I would. Fascinating to see at least that study looking specifically at a citizen science where you volunteer to sign up. And I'm going to watch the birds. I'm going to take some notes and submit that information. And then that information I know then goes to science. And it was from my own little backyard. So I know I'm participating in something bigger. And it's from my little small realm of my world that helps the greater good.
Mm-hmm. What is it that, you know, I just think of myself, I've been doing Christmas bird count for longer than I can remember, and not just one, doing a couple, at least a couple every year, Great Backyard Bird Count, Project Feeder Watch, you know, I can go down the line, there's so many now of these participatory, you know, science, citizen science type activities, but many of them have been around for a long time, and it's like I wouldn't even think about not doing them. You know, it's just like they become part of my routine, my annual. I look forward to it every year. I'm not sure what the draw is other than I just thoroughly enjoy it. And it does make me feel like I'm doing something that is, you know, valuable and important. So once you get going, people, be careful. you might be in for the long game.
And that's okay. And the best part is it's fun. It does. It becomes almost addictive. You're just like, let's do it some more. There was another study about that, John, about nature connectedness and doing these kinds of things, participating in citizen science, or just, I appreciated this multi-focus on this particular study. They looked at those participating in citizen science, but also those that weren't. And they talked about three good things in nature, was because there was a previous study on looking at that, where it's more about, I'm just going to observe nature. And what can I find that's fun or good or exciting, something that I find interesting. And what they found in this, there are a lot of layers to it, but the overall was that when you're participating, when you're paying attention to nature, you're just watching the birds, you're watching nature, or you're participating in citizen science, there is a significant positive effect on your nature connectedness, your personal happiness, your sense of self-worth, your satisfaction with life, and then what we're talking about today, your pro-nature conservation behaviors, how you feel you are actually making a difference just by watching and participating.
Right, and right.
There you go. What we have anecdotally observed over the years, someone scientifically put together and did a study.
Yeah.
So yeah. Really, really neat to see how, us participating and paying attention helps with conservation efforts. And that eventually helps birds and nature.
Yeah, yeah. So as we have talked about on numerous podcasts, you know, I do really believe that the bird feeding hobby, one of its biggest environmental impacts is motivating people in whatever fashion, whatever arena it might be, But people get motivated once they make that emotional connection to the birds in their backyard. So very cool. Very cool stuff. So, Brian, what are some things that people can do? So, you know, we've kind of covered the fact that it's a motivator. It gets people into action. So, and we've already talked a little bit about, you know, citizen science and participatory science and that type of thing. So that's an avenue for people to pursue in regards to action that they can take. What are some other things that we want to share with people in regards to what are some specific actions they can take to benefit the environment even more through this hobby?
John, it's a good question. I think it's the natural question as well. And I know there are a couple of things that we can bring to the table. And one is Wild Birds Unlimited stores are all about having that conservation focus. We have a lot of products that are eco-conscious, sustainable kinds of products. And that focus that we have on those products, from having recycled plastic products to environmentally conscious wooden feeders, where we get that wood, how that wood is processed, working with those companies that are doing sustainable forestry practices, as well as even products like bamboo, and having those kinds of, from feeders to nest boxes, on all those things. So bottom line, with all the kinds of feeders and nest boxes that we have, check out your local Wild Birds Unlimited store, because they do have a lot of amazing products that are eco-friendly, eco-conscious. And if you don't have a store nearby, you can also check it out online. And so we'll have links how to find your store and how to look online. Have those in the show notes.
Excellent. Yeah. And you know, we I don't think sometimes it's understood how much effort we put into this in regards to trying to get our packaging and trying to get our products as environmentally friendly as possible. And it's always a challenge. It's always a step in the right direction when you can pull it off. And sometimes it's a real big battle to make that happen for various, you know, production reasons and things like that. But it is definitely top of mind with, you know, Wild Birds Unlimited, and we try all the time to just keep reducing our footprint and you know, making our products more sustainable. So you know, it's interesting, Brian, because I know you, not only do we try to make our products more sustainable, but again, the educational piece, the informational piece about what people can do and that type of thing, we try lots of different avenues to get the word out and reach people. One of our fun projects that you've been actively involved in has to do with a partnership we've been doing with Walt Disney World down in Florida. This has been a kind of a neat project for education in regards to getting people to know more about native plants and butterfly gardens and that type of thing.
Yes, it has been an absolute blast. Loads of work, not going to lie. but yeah, Wild Birds Unlimited has partnered with Walt Disney World so that we have Songbird Meadow, presented by Wild Birds Unlimited at the Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival. That's going on now through the end of May. We did this similar project last year, and it was very successful. This year, we have this program. We're sponsoring the Songbird Meadow, and we're really focusing on three simple actions that you can do at home to help save the songbirds and be a songbird hero. And it fits very well in our topic today about, okay, environmental benefits of bird feeding. Well, the three simple actions, just watching the birds. And John, we've already touched on how that helps for the environmental benefits. The second is feeding the birds, and how we do have a lot of eco-friendly and sustainable kinds of products. And then the benefits of watching the birds and how that helps with the environmental benefits. But that third one is planting native plants. And John, we've hit on this a number of times, and I know we're just going to keep touching as we go through, because it is so incredibly important. And when you think about the yards across North America and how, man, if we could get more and more and more native plants into yards, we're going to be bringing back native ecosystems that help all those butterflies, and it helps all those birds. It just becomes this amazing event that our little focus at home then helps the environmental benefits. It helps the birds and everyone else. It helps groundwater. It helps us to capture more groundwater and not have so much runoff. And it helps sequester carbon, all the plants and the trees, having those natives, helps from those standpoints. So lots and lots of different kinds of benefits just by having those focuses.
Very cool. Yeah, exactly right. That's been a fun project, I'm sure, in regards to working with Disney, and you've made a couple of trips down there to make sure everything was on track and doing well, so I'm glad we took that one on. That's a neat project, and it really does help educate the people. I mean, think how many people go through there.
Oh yes, lots.
They all get the opportunity to learn a little bit about, you know, the environment and nature and native plants and butterfly and hummingbird and gardens and that type of thing. So very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And you don't even have to go to be able to learn about it or experience the Songbird Meadow, find out benefits or actions that you can take, because we're promoting this on social media every week until the end of May. So you can go and check out our social media, check out your local Wildbirds Unlimited social media. They'll be sharing that information too. Each week we'll either have a video or we'll have a static post, like photos, but it's from the gardens, and it has actions and things you can take with you, things you can do. Very simple, easy to do. But you can learn more. We'll put in the show notes. Go to our Save the Songbirds page for more simple actions to take at home. Or one of my favorites, John, bird-friendly habitat and resources, right? What do I do? I'm certifying your yard. And you don't even have to have, you don't have to plant all these native plants right now and then certify your yard. A lot of yards could be certified now, and then you start to see what else can I do. And so we've got a page on how to certify your yard, as well as lots of information there. But Birds Canada has a gardening for birds page, and it's more than a page. It's like a whole website that is a tremendous resource for how do you start to do your garden. Plant your garden, present your yard. That's going to benefit birds and bring in more birds to your yard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lots of resources. So we'll have those in the show notes too.
Yeah, that's just one example of and it just kind of struck me, Brian, that's just one example of another environmental benefit brought about by bird feeding. And that is, you've got a company like WBU, Wild Birds Unlimited, that gets involved and does things like that. So partnering with Disney, partnering with Cornell Lab of Ornithology, partnering with lots of different projects, whether it's Great Backyard Bird Count, Project Feeder Watch, et cetera, partnering with National Wildlife Federation and the certification program. I could go on and on.
Yeah, and even so Birds Canada.
Yeah, Birds Canada, absolutely, absolutely. So here's a situation where, because of all the support our customers give us, it enables us to then give back to all these different organizations and citizen science, participatory science activities, without a doubt have an impact, a positive impact on the environment.
Yeah. And John, I gotta say too, it reminds me, all these organizations that Wild Birds Unlimited as a franchise overall is partnering with, Arbor Day Foundation. We're now in our third year of partnering with Arbor Day Foundation to help replant trees in areas where, for various reasons, that needs that, whether it was storms or fires or some kind of degradation. But these are, we're choosing places that are important to the local bird populations, but also migratory birds, the birds that show up in our backyards, that go through those areas in different places in the U.S. and in Canada. So like you're saying, we're doing our part. Yes, we're doing our part, and we're trying to magnify that as much as we can. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's wonderful absolutely wonderful to be part of these projects, knowing that we're making a difference too.
Yeah. Yeah. I would totally agree with that, Brian. Totally 100% agree. So, all right. Well, I think we've talked about a few things. Are there any other specific things that we want to mention to folks that they should think about if they want to get a little more active and try to do some things to help benefit the environment on a little different scale than maybe they have in the past?
Well, you're right. We've talked about a number of different things, from native plants and products you can choose, and just watching the birds, just starting by watching the birds out your window or watching them on your feeders. But different citizen science projects, you alluded to that as well. So a lot of things that people can do, and we're going to have all those in the show notes to help be an inspiration and a touch point. So we have covered a lot of things today, John.
As we often do, Abraham.
We get excited about this stuff.
With that, I think it's time for us to wrap up and move on to our next topic for our next podcast.
Well, and I appreciate everyone tuning in to Environmental Benefits of Bird Feeding, and hope that, yeah, you were inspired and you heard some things, even one thing, what can I do that can help make a difference? And know that you doing that does make a difference.
Yeah, and it makes a difference to people, individuals also. And we're going to talk about that in our next visit with Holly Merker. Holly's written a book called Ornithotherapy, and it's all about how bird watching, nature activities really help you mentally and physically get through life. So, and it's not just John and Brian talking anymore. It's a little more detailed and a little, like, she's done a tremendous amount of research for the book. And so she'll give you, you know, you had some examples of some research today, Brian, but she's going to have even more examples of where it's been proven that all of this really does have personal benefits for you, both physically and mentally. So looking forward to Holly. She's a really neat person and always an interesting guest. So until that time, Brian and I are going to continue to let nature be our guide. Please take care, be safe, and keep those feeders clean.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.
To subscribe to the podcast, get show notes, or find the Wild Birds Unlimited store nearest you, visit wbu.com/podcast. We'd really appreciate you telling your friends about Nature Centered. But more than that, we hope you find a moment to relax, enjoy the birds, and stay nature-centered.